Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. God has ordained that preachers of the gospel should live of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:12. Paul appeals to the law of Moses to show that churches have an obligation to support their preachers financially. For it is written in the law of Moses, "You shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox which treads out the corn." 1 Corinthians 9:9. In our day, as contrasted with my early years of preaching, churches generally provide amply for their preachers. I know hundreds of preachers among churches of Christ whose salaries are adequate or more than adequate for the preachers and their families. I'm grateful to God that the elders of the West Fayetteville Church of Christ pay Molly and me a salary that takes care of our needs. Are there preachers who place more emphasis on their salaries than they ought? When you listen to some preachers on radio and on television, do you get the impression that their major concern is money? Some preachers seem not to talk about any other topic. I'm not saying that a man is a false teacher just because he continually emphasizes money. But many false teachers have much to say about money, especially money to support their own ministries. I could give you dozens of examples, but you probably know them as well as I do. The book of 2 Peter makes reference to Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:15. If the money for preaching the truth had been as attractive as the money involved in preaching error, do you suppose Balaam might have preached the truth? Are there preachers in our world who would be preaching the pure and simple gospel of Christ if the money were right? I have absolutely no doubt that money plays a prominent role in the preaching of many prominent theologians. That is a sad commentary on the men who stand in pulpits across our land. But few who have studied the situation would dispute its accuracy. Earlier in 2 Peter, the inspired apostle wrote of the false teachers who were causing so many problems for the early church. "Through covetousness shall they with feigned or well-turned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." 2 Peter 2:3. It should trouble all of us that there are preachers who love the wages of unrighteousness. Some of the leaders among the ancient Israelites had the same attitude of Balaam and of some modern preachers. The shepherds in Israel were not concerned about the sheep who had gone astray. They made no effort to reclaim the ones who had left. So what did the shepherds really want? Here is Ezekiel's answer. "You eat the fat, and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock." Ezekiel 34:3. There are even examples in modern churches of preachers and other leaders who actually have embezzled funds from the church. You can know for sure what their interests are. I'm convinced that most preachers could make a lot more money at almost any other occupation or profession than they currently make. But if they are going to make a difference in our world, they must be totally committed to preaching and teaching. If they really believe what they are doing, they are not going to allow a lack of support or opposition from God's enemies to prevent them from doing the work God has assigned to them. We preachers should have the attitude of the great Apostle Paul. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." 1 Corinthians 9:16. Like Jeremiah, we preachers must have a fire burning within our bones. We cannot quit preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. Jeremiah 20:9. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.